Translation: in the valley of Mandara Hill, Hiranyakashipu began performing his austerities by standing with his toes on the ground, keeping his arms upward, and looking toward the sky. This position was extremely difficult, but he accepted it as a means to attain perfection. Text 3. From the hair on Hiranyakashipu's head there emanated an effulgent light as brilliant and intolerable as the rays of the sun at the time of dissolution. Seeing the performance of such austere penances, the demigods, who had been wandering throughout the planets, now returned to their respective homes. Text 4. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head. And this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Text 5. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe, with its mountains and islands, began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze. Text 6. Scorched and extremely disturbed because of Hiranyakashipu's severe penances, all the demigods left the planets where they reside and went to the planet of Lord Brahma, where they informed the Creator as follows: O Lord of the demigods, O Master of the universe, because of the fire emanating from Hiranyakashipu's head as a result of his severe austerities, we have now become so disturbed that we could not stay in our planets, but have come to you. Text 7. O great person, chief of the universe, if you think it proper, kindly stop these disturbances meant to destroy everything before all your obedient subjects are annihilated. Text 8. Hiranyakashipu has undertaken a most severe type of austerity. Although his plan is not unknown to you, kindly listen as we submit his intentions. And finally, text 11. 10. The Supreme Person within this universe, Lord Brahma, has gotten his exalted post by dint of severe austerities, mystic power, and trance. Consequently, after creating the universe, he has become the most worshipable demigod within it. Since I am eternal, and time is eternal, I shall endeavor for such austerity, mystic power, and trance for many, many births, and thus I shall occupy the same post occupied by Lord Brahma. Purport: Hiranyakashipu's determination was to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. But this was impossible because Brahma has a long duration of life. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, 8:17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahuryad Brahmano Vidu. 1,000 yugas equals one day of Brahma. The duration of Brahma's life is extremely great, and consequently it was impossible for Hiranyakashipu to occupy the post. Nonetheless, his decision was that since the self, Atma, and time are both eternal, if he could not occupy the post in one lifetime, he could continue to execute austerities life after life, so that sometime he could be able to do so. Om Agyan Timadandasya Ginangina Shilakaya Chuksurimilitam Jainatasmaya Siguruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadantis Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Guru Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Nama Hare Nama Vanchakalpa turubhyascha kripa sindhubhyeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo. So, seventh canto of Bhagavatam. You could say that this was Prabhupada's favorite part of the Bhagavatam for lecturing. If you do a study of the folio, you'll see that of all his lectures, the most numerous are coming from seventh canto, because there's so many instructions, instructive pastimes, and in Prabhupada's purport, very practical instructions for our progress in Krishna consciousness. In this verse, we are hearing about the demoniac activities of Hiranyakashipu. One might question, why are we interested, or why is the Bhagavatam describing the activities of a demon in detail? This is Amala Purana. It's the 18 Puranas. Six are in the mode, well, directed towards those in the mode of ignorance. Six are directed towards those in the mode of passion. And six are directed to those in the mode of goodness. But the Bhagavatam in particular is Shuddha Sattva. It's for those interested in becoming transcendental to Shuddha Sattva. Well, this is Amala Purana. There's no material nepertise in this book. It's just pure, as indicated by the Bhagavatam itself. Savai Pumsham Padadharmo Yato Bhaktir Doksaji Ahitukiya Patiyata Yayatma Shupashidati. The Bhagavatam directs us in a certain way, to a certain siddhanta, to a paramgati, a goal of life. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which one can attain to the loving service of the Lord. And it clarifies that service. Ahaitukiya patiyata. Such service to Krishna must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. And what will happen if you perform unmotivated, uninterrupted devotional service? Yayatma supashidati. Complete satisfaction of the self. Shantushti. All your desires will be fulfilled. You'll be happy. This is Bhagavatam. So therefore the Bhagavatam doesn't discuss anything in this world because this is Kunta. Kunta means this is a place of anxiety. From A to Z. From Brahma Loka down to Pataloka, Abrama Bhuvana Loka, Punar Arvitu Arjuna, Mamopetiti Kuntia, Punar Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But Punar Janmana Vidyate, one who ascends, transcends, one who comes to my abode, Gloka, he never takes birth again. So this is the subject matter of the Bhagavatam. We're not studying Bhagavatam for any other reason than going back to Krishna Loka, where life is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And therefore the Bhagavatam, especially the 10th canto, is very interesting to the devotees because it describes the confidential pastimes of the Lord. It's an open secret, actually. Those who study Bhagavatam, they first study the first nine cantos, and Cheto, Dharpanam, Marjanam, by studying those first nine cantos, the heart is cleansed, and one becomes a candidate for hearing, understanding, and vijnan, realizing the pastimes of the 10th canto, Krishna's, especially Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. It's understood that those who are members of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, those who are attracted to the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna, generally it's understood that their destination is Goloka, Vrindavan. Although we do find in the perfected stage, there are devotees who are attracted to Ram or Varaha or Narasingadev and other incarnations. But generally, ite cham sa kolo pumsha krishnashtu bhagavan swayam indriya vyakalam lokam yadai juge juge. This is the Paribhasha Sutra, the seed verse of the Bhagavatam, from which all the other verses blossom, like your beautiful spring trees here in England now. They told me it was cold here. It's not cold here. I arrived there today. It was beautiful sun shining. The trees were full of blossoming flowers. What's all this talk about England being cold? So it's beautiful. It's warmer than Bali. So, Paribhasya Sutra, the seed verse from which the whole Bhagavatam is, and there Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna. Raghunath Das Goswami in his Manashiksha, he warns the aspiring devotees of Gauranga that we should be careful not to become overly attached to a Vaikuntha deity, although it's Krishna, because that attachment will take us to that abode, Vaikuntha. And that is back home, back to Godhead, but that's the official kingdom of God. God, he like, man goes to work and he has his work, but then when he comes home, he's much different. He's relaxed and engaged in loving pastimes with his wife and his children and his nephews like that. So Vrindavan's where Krishna's at home. There's no place like home. And we want to go to Vrindavan. This is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam's directing. So who's this? How'd Hiranyakashipu get in here? Like somebody left the door open and he just kind of slipped in? And why is there so much detail about Hiranyakashipu? And if you read this chapter very carefully, many chapters, so many chapters. Actually, there's one verse that says Sri Hiranyakashipu. It's a famous verse. The Bhagavatam says Sri Hiranyakashipu. Sri means very beautiful or glorious. So from one angle of vision, he's the best of the Asuras. This is something remarkable. Even Prahlad Maharaj addresses his daddy, "Oh, best of the Asuras." Hiranyakashipu, "Yes." This is glorification. But he's an incredible personality. So why are we hearing so much about him? Well, the answer is so that at least we'll understand what we don't want to be. And sometimes there's two items that are similar. One's a rotten mango, one's a healthy mango. So you think, what is the best here for cooking? They're both mangoes, but one is a rotten, putrid-smelling bad, and one is very fresh. Offer it to Krishna. Eat it if you please. I'll take this one. So sometimes by comparison, we can make an intelligent decision. So in this part of the Bhagavatam, there's two prominent personalities. Well, the most prominent personality appears at the end. It's very exciting, Lord himself. But throughout the chapter, there's two prominent personalities. There's Hiranyakashipu and there's Prahlad Maharaj. So follow in the footsteps of the Mahajans. Read the chapter and see who you'd like to end up like. There's a school of philosophy which employs this technique of elimination in understanding God. Atraiva mrigaya purusho neti neti. That the absolute truth is not this, not that, not this, not that, not this, not that. There's not our school, but there's a school. It's almost like logic of eliminating. This is not God, that is not God, this is neti neti neti. And they finally come, after everything, they come to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. It takes a long time. But if you have a spiritual master who can just tell you, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, and you accept, you save yourself so much trouble. So by eliminating everything that isn't God, we hope to understand what is God. So by hearing about a demon like Hiranyakashipu, we understand, I don't want to be like him. Follow the path of the angels, Sridhar Maharaj. One of Prabhupada's godbrothers. He wrote a very beautiful book about the process of pure devotional service. It's called Follow the Angels. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. You'll go to heaven and I'll go to hell. The Christians say that. They used to chant it on the street. So by hearing about Hiranyakashipu, no, I don't. I'm not attracted to any of his qualities. I'm not attracted to his activities. I'm not attracted to his destination. I'm attracted to his at the end. Where did he end up? He ended around the neck of Nrisingadev in a very ghastly form, as his intestines. No, thank you, sir. So we hear about him, and we hear about Prahlad. Tatikshava karunika shurinam shavadehinam. We hear about a devotee who's decorated with all good qualities. Those qualities are there within the heart of every living entity. Jivir Supoya Krishnera Nitya Das. We're all servants of Krishna. So in quality, we're one with the Lord. We're godly. We're not God, but we're godly. So we have those godly qualities. And when we practice Krishna consciousness, the heart becomes cleaned and those qualities become manifest. And those we see in pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada and Prahlad Maharaj. So take your pick. Follow the angels. Or follow in the footsteps. The blind eating the blind, and they all fall into the ditch, as Jesus said during his times. Actually, Padma Purana describes in this world, not just Earth, but our solar system, our universe, this cosmos, beyond the Milky Way, everything. Dvabhuta svargalokashmin daiva ashura evacha Vishnu Bhakta Smito Dhaiva Ashurista Dipara Yaha. That in this world there are two types of created beings. One is divine and one is demoniac. And because things get mixed up in this world, people are in different modes. But essentially, there's divine and demoniac. And they exist side by side. If you're a Sankirtan devotee, you have plenty of experience of this. If you're not a Sankirtan devotee, just look into your heart. My brother used to say to my mom when he'd do something wrong, "The devil made me do it, Mom." The devil made me do it. Now he's twice initiated, my little kid brother, Brother Kumar. So devotees and demons. In Satya Yuga, they lived in different universes. In Treta Yuga, they lived on different planets. In Dwapara Yuga, they lived in different cities. But in Kali Yuga, the divine and the demoniac live in the same body. Now, when there's two beings of distinct different qualities, on the opposite spectrums, divine and demoniac, you're asking for trouble. Like sometimes in the schoolyard when we were kids, the bullies would come. "Are you looking for trouble, man?" "No, no, no. Are you looking for trouble?" "I'm not. Are you looking for trouble?" So if you're in this material world, you're looking for trouble because there's the divine and the demoniac. Now, if they're in different universes, ça va bien. There's no problem. If they're on different planets, okay. If they're in different cities, it gets a little bit. If they're in your heart, this is a problem. They're going to come close together and there's going to be friction. There'll be trouble. War. War up north, war down south. Everybody talking about war. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Sada Pasyanti Shurayo. Because the devotees of the Lord, they're going up. They're looking towards the lotus feet of Vishnu. This is a description of you. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Shuraha. Shuraha means that we're looking. There's that famous picture of Prabhupada on the, I don't know if it still have it, on the science, on the cover of the Science of Self-Realization. Prabhupada's like this. You seen that? Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Pada. He's looking towards the lotus feet of Vishnu or Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada posed for that picture. We were in a car looking for castles. Prabhupada wanted to find a property. He said one time, if we had five places like New Mayapur in Europe, we could take over the whole continent. So we had the manor, and we had Villa Vrindavan, and we had the place in Spain. So when we were looking for New Mayapur, Prabhupada was so determined to find New Mayapur, to find a community, because we were just bulging at the seams at Katvulasur. So he personally, one visit, went himself in a car looking for a property. And there was a little picnic on the way, and then Yogeshwara, who was always taking photos and asking questions, he was snapping pictures of Prabhupada. So Prabhupada said, "Would you like me to pose?" So, yeah. So then Prabhupada took his cane and he, in the wheat field, and he, "Okay, shoot." And that's where the photo came from. And afterwards, Prabhupada said, like Napoleon. So Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyamti Shurayo. That learned devotees always look to the lotus feet of the Lord. Learned, because if you're not reading the books, you don't know what you forget what the goal is. And you spend more time watching TV and watching movies and going to cricket matches and like this, and you forget. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyamti Surahya. And you practice. Plutarch said, habit is only, character is only habit practice. Your habits become your character. So be careful. You have to make your habits Krishna conscious, and then your character becomes Krishna conscious. And the demons? Tannaham dvishtaha kurun samsha reshu naradhanam, Bhagavatam says. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest amongst men, I perpetually cast them into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. So by dint of their material activities, they're going downward. Materna krishne patashvato va. Because of their uncontrolled senses, materialistic people are gradually gliding downwards towards hellish conditions of life. And either their own efforts or the efforts of others, or the combination of the both, can save them. So when something's going down and something's going up, you get friction. Like when you were kids, you make the fire, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Fire. So one acharya said that fire, that the friction that created the great flame that comes, that's Narasingha. He to protect his dhoti. Jwala Narasingha. I have one disciple, Jwala Narasingha. You know, his disciple list came in, and you know, the initiation was the next morning, so I'm like, you know, get a name here and a name here and a name here. Then the next morning, this meek little quiet pale-faced boy. What are the four principles? No meat eating, no toxic. No. How many rounds are you going to chant? What's your devotional service? What? I go to school. Your name is Jwala Narasingha. He went, what, Kumash? Jwala Narasingha. The Shingu appears like fire. Rah! Kumaraj. Can I change my name? No. Fire has two potencies. Fire purifies and fire destroys. You can purify things by dint of fire, and you can destroy things by fire. So when the Lord appears in his fiery constitution, as a result of the friction between the devotees and the non-devotees, he burns up the demons. And he purifies the devotees of any last tinge of material attachment. So we have to go through the fire of ordeal sometimes, even in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes there's tests in Krishna consciousness. It's not just a bowl of roses like they told you at the Sunday feast, you know, to get you to move into the temple. No. That we go through the fire of ordeal. Just like Bhakti and Kate, she wanted to take initiation. I said, well, you wait a little bit longer. I want some verification from this authority. And she went, yes, Gurudev. You going to follow my instruction? Yes. So then I thought, she passed the test. She'll do whatever I tell her. Well, this is the qualification of disciple, that whatever instruction the spiritual master has, the disciple will carry out with faith, shraddha, that initial faith we have to have for initiation. So sometimes we're purified by the fire of ordeal, like gold. The real beauty of gold cannot immediately be perceived when it comes from the ground. Actually, gold nuggets are a bit... Well, it's not just that the mud is covering them, but gold in an unpurified state is not really very attractive. You have to have the eye to see, though this is gold, because when I was young, we used to kids, we used to go up into the Sierra Nevada mountains where they had the gold rush of 1849, California. And some of the old places were still up there, abandoned now because most of the gold had been taken out. But, you know, as a kid, you can still get a few nuggets, enough to, you know, get you $100 for... So we used to go up to the mountains and pan for the gold. And, you know, it takes a long time. You have that pan there, and you're like all day, and you get one nugget. It doesn't even look like very something. But then you take it, and they fire it. The gold is put into heat, and the impurities melt away, and you have that brilliance gold. You've seen gold in its pure form. Sometimes they mix it with other alloys to make it strong, so you have 9-karat gold, or you have 18-karat gold. But you ask your wife what kind of gold ornaments she would like, and she'll say 22. Am I right? There you go. 22, it's got a rich gold luster to it, and that's the kind of gold girls get at the dowry. You know, if things go wrong, they can always have the gold for security. That you don't find in London. Even at Harrods, you won't. I went shopping for my deities there one time. What is this, ladies? What do you mean? What is this? This is not. This is nothing. This is Harrods, sir. I said, but in a village in India, I can get better gold. Then go back to India. All right. And better than that, you can get 24-karat gold in Hong Kong. The Chinese have found a way. I mean, it's 23.99999, because it's not, you have to have a little bit there so it doesn't become weak, but that I have for my Nisringa shalagram. Oh, he's looking so nice. Black shalagram, shiny, golden eyes, golden earrings, and golden mouth, 24 karat. But if you ladies have any extra gold that you're not attached to, which you'd like to sacrifice for the Supreme Lord, and he'll give you all protection. You can see me after class. So, but gold becomes brilliant by fire. So we become brilliant. We become, our true qualities become manifest when we go through the fire of ordeal. So, yes. Nisringadev, he destroyed the demons and he purified his devotees by their presence. There's no doubt that Hiranyakashipu was destroyed. If you have any doubts, just look at the painting. Right. His heart was thrown to the other side of the assembly hall and his intestines were wrapped around the neck of Nisringadev. Now, if anybody can survive after that, well, I don't know their first. But most important is that by the mercy of the Lord, his material desires were removed. This is the mercy of the Lord. He's called Hari. Krishna's called Hari. Hari means, like we say, you know, Hari, Hari Bo. Like, what does it mean? I don't know. Hari, what does Hari mean? We're always saying Hari Bo, Bo, Hari. What does it mean? Bo means to sing the glories of Hari. One of Krishna's names is Hari. It's not just some, you know, little cute saying we have, Hari Bo. This has deep purport. It's pregnant with meaning. Hari is the name of Krishna. It means he who removes all inauspiciousness. Like Krishna said to Yudhishthira in the 11th canto, my first mercy upon my devotee, my fully surrendered devotee, is I take everything away from him. So the poor fool has no other recourse than to take full shelter of my lotus feet. Get ready. So Hari, anyone who comes in contact with fire, irregardless if they're a demon or a devotee or something in between, they're going to get warm, they're going to get some light. So anyone who comes in contact with Hari, with Krishna, whether he's a devotee or a demon, there's going to be some auspicious benefit. It's the principle of Sankirtan. We go out to give the Lord's mercy. It may not, you know, we may not bring back truckloads of shaved up devotees, but we have a confidence that by going out there, there's some change of heart. Because Hari, he removes all this inauspicious. So in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he lost his heart, he lost his intestines, he lost about 1 gallon of blood. But most important, he lost his material desires. That's not the whole thing. We're still trying to do that. After 40 years, we're still chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Look in the mirror of the heart. Ah! Still there. And that's the desire. It's not easy. But because Nisringadev is so merciful, he lost all desire, all material desires. It's actually described that he now resides on Nisringaloka. He's there, and he looks like Hiranyakashipu. He still has his mustache. Just like in Azerbaijan, my male disciples will not shave their mustaches. They have a sika and a big mustache. Shave your mustache. Please, no, Gumraj. They'll think I'm feminine. In that country, if you don't have a mustache, you know, it's like you're a sissy. So, okay, keep your mustache, but you trim it back a little bit, you know. So Hiranyakashipu is there in Nisringaloka, but he's nice, surrendered bhakta. Jaya Nisringa Dev, Jaya Nisringa. He's got a little haircut there, you know. So how is this possible? Actually, after the pastime of the killing of Hiranyakashipu, Nisringadev asked Prahlad Maharaj if he wanted a benediction. So devotees don't ask benedictions other than devotional service. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavicham va jagadisha kamae, mama janmani janmani shwari bhavatad bhakti. Right? We can ask something from the Lord. Not that we can't ask. Just like the child has the right to ask the father for some material sustenance. My son used to say, you know, where's my truck? Where's my red truck? I come back from Sankirtan. What do you mean? You're my daddy. You are supposed to provide the toys when I'm young. Whoa, okay. We're going by. That's the father's duty. I said, okay, but when you get old, you have to take care of me, all right? Okay. So now I'm getting old and I see my son, so now the table's reversed. So give a donation. I bought you the red trucks. But generally, devotees don't. We can ask for seva. It's because we're created for seva. Krishna creates us for the purpose of devotional service, ultimately for enjoyment, because service is the way we express our loving sentiments. The gopis are serving Krishna. Krishna's sipikami with the gopis. It's all devotional service. We're being trained for Goloka here. So you have the right. So Prahlad said he didn't ask anything for himself. Devotees are, they know, you'll get kshemam bahamyam. If I give my life to Krishna, then Krishna will take care. He's no poor man, Prabhupada said. For my devotee, I protect what they have and I provide what they lack. You may want a little bit more, but Krishna knows what's best for you. Father knows best. So when Prahlad was asked for a benediction, being one of the Mahajans, he set the standard. He said, look at my dad. Like, he's all over the place. Can you do something about this? Can you give him liberation? So Nisringadev said, no, by the touch of my nails, Om Am Hrim Shrom Om Fat Om Tataka Hataka Keshaka Dilat Padagalochana Badharaka Naka Sparsha Divashinga Sparsha Mean Moshtate. O my Lord, O Transcendental Lion, I offer my obeisances to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with the wonderful brilliance. Your glance, your darshan, and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So Nisringadev said, no, don't worry about your daddy. He's already liberated, along with 10 generations who appeared before, and 10 generations who appear in the future. This is the potency of Krishna consciousness. It's amazing. Actually, my sisters just became interested in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said the best will come last. She liked that. She's been very inimical, not towards Krishna consciousness, but you know, to the family. There were some family quarrels, and she's getting older now, in her late 50s. She called me after many, many years. Indra? Yeah? This is Annie Banana. Annie, remember I came 1977 to New Mayapur and I stayed with you for 2 weeks. You know, I'm in trouble. I'm having a hard time. Can I come see you? I said, yeah. And how's that horrible brother of ours, Peter? I said, well, he's an initiated Vaishnava in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. His name's Braja Kumar. What? So she came to Alachua. And I thought it was going to be just like, you know, a cat fight when they met. But I told Braja, I said, look, you, as I helped you, you help her. So he apologized. Anything that happened wrong in the family, he said, it was my fault. She said, that's right. And please, you know, accept my obeisance. He's bowing down. She's going, whoa, what's going on here? Bowing down, touching her feet, like, whoa, whoa. She said to me, what'd you do to our brother? He's a good guy now. So they made up. And that night, in the kirtan, she was dancing in ecstasy. We had just, you know, one of those kirtans that just doesn't stop. And she was like, shh, she's a big woman. I hope she didn't hear this tape. Dancing and, you know, singing and laughing. Her son, her younger son, Adrian, was with her. Two sons, Jeremy and Adrian. Jeremy just got out of the Navy, and Adrian's like, you know, criminal, in and out of jail, and drug dealer, and, you know. So that, and the next morning, I got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning from Adrian. He was kind of taking care of Annie. He said, Uncle Brian, he said, can you come over here? I said, what? He said, my older brother just committed suicide in Arizona, and I can't tell my mom. I can't tell your sister. I'm supposed to get Bhagavatam class in 20 minutes. So I thought it would be better to send Rangavali, who's my brother's wife, Braja Kumar Rangavali. So I called up Ranga. I said, look, you got to go over there and deal with it. She'd lost her husband and her eldest son in a car accident some years ago. So she went over there and she took, you know, can you imagine telling a mother that her son died? So I called about a half hour later. All I could hear in the back was this wailing. Like, it just broke my heart. You know how, just like really wailing on and on and on. And so I came over, and, you know, that's not a time for philosophy. So I just gave a big hug to my sister. You know, I said, no cameras, guys. I just like hugged her for an hour. She was crying. My shirt was just soaking wet. And then I said, sorry. She said, well, at least I understand he's not the body, and he's someplace else. And she said, I read in the seventh book of that Bhagavatam that if I do something in Krishna conscious, he gets the benefit. It says reading here. She took that seventh canto home with her in 1977. So he knew these things, all coming out as a result. So the next morning I came by and she had bees. She was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. I said, Annie, that's great. She said, I'm not chanting for any. I'm just chanting for my son. That's okay. I'm not chanting to love Krishna. I just want to chant for my. That's great. I'll chant for your son too. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. So now she's chanting and she's planning to move down to Alachua and all these things, you know. She said, do you think that one day I could get initiated? Braja? I said, yeah, it's all possible with the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So like that, when if someone performs devotional service, it has a reverberating effect. So the family, my mother, her last words were, I'm going to Krishna. She's already there. I'm still down here. It cleanses the heart. And then Braj and the sister. So this is, we can understand. So Nisringa said, don't worry, your father's delivered. Lord Nisringadev destroyed his material desires by his hot claws. This is amazing, actually. Therefore, in 1927, Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, who was producing The Harmonist, you know, his lectures and his talks were there, he wrote, in Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu, more than Prahlad, by the adoption of the method of negative propaganda, proclaimed greatly the glory of Nisringadev. Because he was delivered, that's the glories of Nisringadev are that he delivered Prahlad, but Bhakti Sananda Saraswati said, really, He became famous not for delivering Prahlad, but for delivering Hiranyakashipu. In Satya Yuga, Hiranyakashipu, more than Prahlad, by the adoption of the method of negative propaganda, proclaimed greatly the glory of Nrisimhadeva. So you can just dive and surface in these pastimes and analyze them from different angles, like when you shine a light through a jewel, right? A crystal, then a blue, green, yellow, red. So one speaker takes the verse and this red color, this blue, next day the blue, and like this. So every time, it's just Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he spoke on the first verse of the Bhagavatam in Dhaka, which he called the second Vrindavan. There were so many temples in Dhaka at that time that it was like a second Vrindavan. He used to go there and speak. And one time in the main Gaudiya temple there in Dhaka, I went to that place. It's still there. His seat is still there. The place where he lectured. He lectured on one verse every day for 3 months. And he never repeated himself one time. I know another devotee, Fakir Mohan. He's a very nice sadhu. He lives in Orissa. He's a good friend of mine. And he's addicted to chanting Hare Krishna. He just chants all day and reads, and he's like 85, 86. He's still doing a PhD thesis on something. Scholar. And I attend many of his lectures when he comes to Vrindavan. He stays at the MVT and gives classes for devotees. And I've heard him lecture for years now, and he always lectures on the holy name. And usually he just lectures on the same verse. And I've never heard him say the same thing twice. I said, that's amazing. Krishna consciousness. So, fire destroys and purifies. So, it destroyed the material desires of Hiranyakashipu. And how did it purify Prahlad? Because Prahlad's a Mahajan. But the Bhagavatam said that he was purified. 7th canto, 9th chapter, verse 6. Satat karashparsha duta kila shubha. It says, by the touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contamination and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he became at once transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love, and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Isn't that beautiful? Satat karashparsha duta kila shubha. By the touch of the Nrisimhadeva's hand, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contamination and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Oh. How does Prahlad Maharaj, he's a Mahajan and Nityasiddha, how does he have material desires? Well, in the purport, Prabhupada said that Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, and as a result, demoniac blood virtually flowed throughout his body. So by association, not of his own doing, by association. Just like you go on Sangirtan, sometimes does your mind get disturbed? You're out there with all these lusty people, greedy people, and you know, you're a devotee, and you're out there to give yourself, but you know what it's like. You have to come home and take a bath, get in front of your deities, have kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Not of your own accord, but by dint of association. Sometimes the contamination is there. So we have to be very careful of this, our association. We have to preach and take that association, but we have to balance it out by coming to the temple or inviting devotees into our home so that, you know, the heart is purified. So, this is the devotee. He's very merciful. He'll give us a, but when he comes home, rub his, you know, like you have that, what is that hand we have now? They have in the stores? What's it called? It's a hand cream. I use it all the time because they say that, you know, people's hands are very dirty. They touch the railings in the airport like that. That's how you get sick. So I'm always squeezing that alcoholic on my hands all the time now so I don't get swine flu, H1N1. I was passing through an airport. Where was it? Somewhere I was. Tokyo. And they had free shots. So I stopped. I sat down. Yes, sir. I want a H1N1 shot. The whole rest of the plane ride. Oh! I didn't get it. So sometimes there's some contamination, or just like a spiritual master, he will accept disciples and then he has to absorb the karma. So Jiva Goswami says, one should not accept more disciples than one is able to deal with, meaning the sinful reactions. Of course, how does the guru, who's already, you know, praying to remain pure, then how does he take on the karma of 1,000 or 2,000 people? Well, he has to have faith in the holy names and chant those holy names very sincerely, because it's the holy names that destroy anything karmic, anything material, any material desire. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Cleansed. So the guru, the disciple should know, my poor Guru Maharaj. No. He just to chant. The quality of his chanting has to be very good so that he burns up those sinful reactions, just like fire could burn wood to ashes. So don't think that Prahlad was contaminated. Maybe there was something because of his association with the greatest demon that the world has ever known. Of course, Hiranyakashipu, he thought his son was contaminated because he'd become a devotee of Krishna. When he took Prahlad on his lap, he said, Prahlad, what is the best thing you've learned in school? So Prahlad said, Shavanam Kirtanam, Shmarnam Padasevanam, Archanam Bandham, Dasyam Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. Oh, Prahlad, that's very good. If you hear and chant about my glories and serve my lotus feet and fully surrender to me, you will become a good little demon. Prahlad said, Pita, you weren't listening carefully. Shravanam Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam. I didn't say, Hiranyakashipu Shmaranam. You rascal, Prahlad! I have to control my senses here. My emotions. Let's do them onto the ground. Where have you learned these things? Where have you learned these things? He said to his teacher, Sundanamarka. Sundanamarka, have you taught him these things about vision? No. He's learned it from the Vaishnavas. From the Vaishnavas. Yes. The Vaishnavas. You know, he learned it in the womb, actually, didn't he? When there was a big fight in the heavenly planets. The demons had control of the heavenly planets, so the demigods came to fight, and they were winning the battle, getting their planets back. So the demigods actually were going to kill the child in the womb, because they knew, oh, this is the wife of Hiranyakashipu. She's pregnant, so this must be a big demon here. So Narada Muni appeared. He said, hold on, guys. You may not understand this, but this is a really great devotee inside there. So you do parikrama around her. What? Do parikrama around the wife of Hiranyakashipu. Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. And then, to protect her, Narada Muni took her to his ashram, and he instructed her in the science of Krishna consciousness. And the child in the womb, by dint of transcendental sound vibration, heard those instructions and became Krishna conscious. So ladies, when they become pregnant, then they read the Bhagavatam or the Gita. It's a very powerful effect like that. So this is the way Prahlad. So, but his father considered this a contamination. Just like when some of you joined, your parents were like, oh, finally you've understood the truth. You're giving up school and giving up all these bad habits, and you're going to become a Hare Krishna. I couldn't have wanted anything better for you in life. When I first came home to see my mom, I had, like, before the last time she saw me, like, long hair and beard and really good mustache with the wax. This is the 60s, right? I came home with a shaved head. What happened? I should tell you to cut your hair. You could have left a little bit. She was a scientist, you know. What? You could have done anything, become a lawyer, become a doctor, become a devotee of God? She considered the contamination. So materialists consider Krishna consciousness a contamination, whereas devotees consider material life a contamination. One man's food is another man's poison. So anyway, we know the true thing because we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, and we have that faith. And we see the result. The end result of Prahlad Maharaj's ecstatic symptoms of love of God and Hiranyakashipu's fate of being destroyed by the Lord. So we have to decide who we want to follow. Everyone has heroes in this world, and heroes in the mode of ignorance, heroes in the mode of passion, heroes in the mode of goodness. And we have our heroes in the mode of transcendence. And following in the path of the Mahajans, follow the angels, as Sridhar Maharaj said, then we're guaranteed in due course of time to attain that destination. Take some time. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabaha. But we're going in the right direction. And Rupa Goswami writes in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that one has to be very patient. He said, like a man and a woman get married, and the girl, you know, desperately wants a child. That word is used sometimes. Desperately wants a child. But first she has to get pregnant, and sometimes that's not easy. First she has to get pregnant, and then she has to wait almost a year. That's a long time, a year. Where were you last year? To wait a year. And during that time, you have to carry this huge weight in her belly. And life becomes very uncomfortable, I imagine. They actually had in America at one time, they had, because there was this thing that the wives, you know, the husbands aren't appreciating. So they had this school where, to prepare for the birth, the husband and the wife would go to learn how the wife would deliver the child. There's a whole, like, education to go through. And just so the man would have sympathy, the men were obliged to wear this metal ball that weighed whatever the weight of the child was, with a belt around their weight for 1 week. And at the end of that, they were very helpful with their wives and, you know, everything. So, but you have to be patient. So what to speak of achieving the highest goal of life? Anibilasata sunyam jnana karma navitam anukalina krishanu shilanam bhakti uttama. This is the highest goal of life. So as we have to be patient for anything in this world, nothing comes. Of course, in Kali Yuga, there's what Janis Joplin used to call cheap thrills. I don't know if you know her anyway. She was a singer in the 60s. She had a song called Cheap Thrills. That you can get it quick, you get it fast. What's that? I want it all, and I want it now. You could almost do that. But Krishna consciousness doesn't come like that. It's like a gardener cultivates a seed in the ground. By nature's way, there's a certain time that it takes for that seed to mature and develop into a plant and a tree and then the flowers. Now you have the flowers. London is just, what did Rancho Prabhu call the book, his new book? When the Sun Shines. Prabhupada said, England is beautiful when the sun shines. And that's so true now. You see all these trees are just bursting with these beautiful flower blossoms like that. Just yesterday they started falling, but I say, wow, this is so beautiful. Krishna says, the seasons I am flower-bearing spring. So like that, we all want that. We don't want what I heard was a long, cold winter. I don't believe it because it's so beautiful here. But we all want the springtime or the summertime. But you have to wait to go through the winter. So you have to go through ado, shuddha, tata sadhu sangha, tata bhajana kriya, nartana vritti siyat. Now it's time for nishtha and ruchi and bhav and prem. But it will come. It will come. It will come. And when it comes, there'll be nothing greater than that. Like George Harrison wrote that song, Here Comes the Sun. He actually wrote that in glorification of Prabhupada. Rancho reveals that in the book. Here comes the sun, da na na na. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right. Boom, 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 boom. I was so happy to find that's a Krishna conscious song. I always liked it. Just gives you hope. So there's, in Krishna consciousness, there's always hope. In material life, there is no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. For one who has taken his birth, death is certain. And for one who has died, birth is certain. I'm not hopeful. But in Krishna consciousness, We're always making, even if we have our down days, it's like this. You're still going, it's kind of like this. There's down days, right? Down, but you're still going up. Down, down, up. You're always going up. So don't get depressed. It's not like you're going like this is material. Get your up days, but it's on the way down. You have some up days and some down days in Krishna consciousness, but it's like this, going up. And Prabhupada said, he gave one initiation lecture, he said, deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. So we have a bright future. So we have our tough days, but don't ever get depressed. There's no reason to be for depression in Krishna consciousness. In the end, which will come at some time, it's there. We're not alone. We have Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. We have God. We have our Guru. He's got our back covered. He's got my back. We've got the Vaishnavas. You know, we're not alone in our effort. So we always have the association of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. So it's guaranteed. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I see no reason why all my disciples cannot go back to Godhead in one lifetime. But even if it takes two or three or four, what does it mean? Yeah, are you lamenting now, living at the manor or Soho or having your home? No, this is wonderful life, as Chaitanya taught, Prabhupada writes in his Vyasa Puja. So everything's okay. Don't worry. It's going to get better and better and better. And today we are granting initiation to Bhakti Kate. We have a better name for her than that. Bhakti Kate. So actually we're going to be doing that now. Right? So we're going to set it up very quickly. So if you'd like to stay, I know everyone's very busy and you have things to do, but I'm not going to give a long lecture. I'll just repeat the 10 offenses because we do have a full day today, but we will be giving her initiation here in front of our beloved Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, Gornitai, everybody. So, Prabhupada, so if you do have some spare time, please stick around to give your blessings. Otherwise, thank you very much. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki, Sripalad Maharaj, Ki, Bhagavan Narasingadeva, Ki, Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna. So welcome, everyone. The katha continues. So this is the initiation ceremony of Bhakti Kate. She's a Polish girl, now living with her husband here in England, and this is her first initiation. We'll begin by performing the Ajman, or the purification ceremony. So Kate, you just watch me. You'll take the spoon, just watch for now. You'll take the spoon and you'll put 3 drops of water in your right hand, and you'll look at the water and you'll say Om Keshavaya Namaha. Then you'll sip it, and then you'll put 1 drop in the right hand into the side. Okay, so after the following mantra. So 1, 2, 3, then you sip. You look, Om Keshavaya Namaha, sip, and drop, after the following mantra. Everyone please repeat, Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Ya Smaret Pundarikaksham Sa Bhaya Vayantara Suchi, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. Om Keshavaya Namaha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Nam, Hare Hare, Hare. And then next time will be Om Narayanaya Namaha. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavasnam Gatopiva Ya Smaret Punarikaksham Sa Vaya Vayantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Nam Nam, Hare. And next time, Om Madhavaya Namaha. Om Apavitra Pavitrova Sarvavastam Gatopiva Ya Smaret Punarikaksham sa vaya vayantara suchi Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The meaning of this mantra is either pure or impure, or having passed through all conditions of material life. If one can remember the lotus-eyed Krishna, he becomes externally and internally cleansed. Today she's receiving Harinam Diksha, chanting into the initiation to the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. This the chanting of Hare Krishna, of course, has always been there. Prabhupada said it's an eternal blessing. So even during Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga, there were a few fortunate souls. You can put her neck beads on too. Her neck beads. There were a few fortunate souls who knew the value of this mantra. Although the Dharma was different in those days, it is the Dharma in this age. It's the only thing to do. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahaguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha padam vajet. My king, this Kali Yuga is an ocean of inauspiciousness. But there's one good thing left. Kirtanad eva krishnasya. By chanting these names of Krishna, specifically in the form of the Maha Mantra, one can achieve perfection and go back home, back to Godhead. And everyone can benefit from chanting. I was noticing the other day, I was just starting my class last night at Soho Temple. And there was a Harinam party going out. So regularly the Harinam is going out. So by hearing that mantra, people can, their hearts become purified. But to get the ultimate goal of chanting, which is prema, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. That type of prema. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord. He shall always remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me, he's always my worshipable Lord unconditionally. This selfless love, one time Prabhupada said, the lawless love of the gopis, that type of braja prema, one can only get that if one is initiated into the chanting of Hare Krishna. That's why it's so important. In his discussion with the brahmanas, one brahmana was talking about the glories of the holy name, being able to free the heart of all sins and uproot material desires and like that. And Haridasa Thakura wasn't impressed. That's not the glories of the holy name. That's a side effect. That's a side benefit. Oh, sir, what are the benefits? This prema. The prema, where one, the body erupts into nine symptoms of ecstatic love of God. We saw that with Prabhupada on three occasions. And Prabhupada was at New Mayapur and chanting Jayarada Madhava, and he stopped the chanting and he was trembling. I thought he was having a stroke. And the eyes were, the tears were shooting out. They were shooting out of his eyes like a syringe. This is love of God. That convinced me more about Krishna consciousness than anything else. In the whole life as a devotee, seeing ecstatic symptoms. So that ecstatic state, that's our goal. It's some way away, but we know who we are. We know where we are going. Exodus, Bob Marley. So we know what the goal is. And to get that goal, you have to take initiation into the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Therefore, the only real guru is the Vaishnava guru, with all due respect. There's gurus in every of the three paths, yoga, jnana, and bhakti. These are the three authorized paths of transcendence. But if you take initiation from a guru who can give you siddhis, what? That's not going to impress Krishna. if you get gyan and you can merge into the Brahman effulgence, beyond that effulgence, the beautiful form of Krishna. But if you get Vaishnav Guru, everyone gets mother and father, Bengali proverb, but one who gets the mercy of Guru and Krishna can overcome the repetition of birth and death and go back to Godhead. So this type of diksha, this is very special, to get diksha from someone in the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya. And if you take advantage of that mercy, it's not that the Guru just, you just like let go and he just drags you back, you know. Okay, la di da 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 da. Here we are in Vaikuntha. Thanks, Gurudev. No. It takes two to tango. And it takes two to get liberated. It takes the mercy of the Guru and the intense endeavor of the disciple to take that knowledge, put it into practice, and realize it. Like you go to school. So it's not like going to school, you make a lot of money. You go to school, you get an education, then you apply that education in a particular field, particular career, and on the basis of that, the fruits come in. So tadvidhi paripatena pariprasana sevaya pariksanti te ginam ghaninas tatvadarshana. You approach the Guru, pariprasana, sir, kayami, who am I? What do I do now? How to? And then shevaya, you serve. And that combination of inquiry and serving the Guru, 24 hours a day, taking that knowledge and putting it, that gives vijnan. That gives realization. So the Guru will give his mercy, but it's not that because one gets initiated that one's going back to Godhead. One has to take that mercy and apply it. And the fruits come. But they come quickly if one is showing the enthusiasm, the eagerness. So that chanting is our saving grace, but we have to be careful because the holy name is the most merciful form of Krishna. And he's very benevolent. He's very Srinam Prabhu. He's a person, the holy name, and he's very merciful. But if you make offense to the holy name, then you lose all chances of perfection. So there's 10 offenses. We'll just read them briefly, and then we will go on. There's 10 offenses in the chanting of the holy names, which must be strictly avoided. And we know them, but sometimes we have senior moments. When you get past 60, you get this dementia type of thing. Right? Okay. The first offense, blasphemy of the great saintly persons who are engaged in the preaching of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. The Nam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. Number two, in this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental. Absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name, or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them to be material, that is very bad. Similarly, to think the names of demigods such as Lord Shiva to be as good as the name of Lord Vishnu is also blasphemous, although Lord Shiva is a very great devotee, and we also take shelter of him as a devotee. Three, to consider the spiritual master to be material, and therefore to envy his exalted position. Four, blasphemy of Vedic literature, such as the four Vedas and the Puranas, including the Bible. Five, to give some interpretation on the holy name of Krishna. Six, to consider the glories of the holy name to be imaginary. There's no imagination. It's true. It all works. Just give peace a chance. Just give the holy names an opportunity to purify you. Seven, to think that since the Hare Krishna mantra can counteract all sinful reactions, one may therefore go on with the sinful activities and then at the same time chant Hare Krishna to neutralize them is the greatest offense. One who thinks in this way can never be purified by any means, such as austerities or by the various punishments of Yamaraj. Eight, it is a great offense to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be equal to the performance of religious ceremonies, following austere vows, practicing renunciation and fire sacrifices, which are all materialistic, auspicious activities. You don't have to do any of that. Just chant. 9, it is an offense to preach the glories of the Holy Name to those who will not hear, to those who are atheistic, and those who have no faith in the chanting of the holy names. 10, that lowest amongst men who, even upon hearing the glories of the transcendental name of Krishna, continues in a materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everything belonging to this body is mine, ahamamati, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of Hare Krishna. We have to show love for the chanting, like you embrace your lover, to embrace the holy name with deep affection. He's an offender to the holy name. And 11, according to Jiva Goswami, to be inattentive while chanting Hare Krishna. Srinam Prabhu Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Shri Krishna Samkirtan Yajna Ki. So, Bhakti and Kate, you can come forward and you can say the 4 vows that you promised to follow for the rest of your life, and how many rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra you're going to chant. Where's your husband? Okay, you ready? Get the camera? When you're 75 years old, you'll look back at the photo. This is actually your spiritual birth, which is more important than the material birth, right? We don't give much significance taking birth in this world. So tomorrow, if somebody asks you how old you are, you can say you're one day old. So what are the rules and regulations that you promise to follow for the rest of your life? Okay. And how many rounds will you chant every day? And study Prabhupada's books. Whatever any of us say, we're only repeating Prabhupada. What we know is only by the mercy of Prabhupada. And he says it best. He said one time, what will your 10-minute lecture do? He said, give them my books and let them read, because he's speaking from the transcendental platform. So study those books. They're everything we need to know to get out of here, out of London and back to Goloka, is there in Prabhupada's books. We're very happy to finally, you became a devotee 10 years ago. I think you've been aspiring for 4 or 5 years. We're very happy to accept you as our duly initiated disciple, and we will do everything in our power to connect you to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. He's Prabhupada. He's the master at whose feet all the masters sit. So, we as spiritual masters and our disciples are sheltered at the feet of Prabhupada, and he'll deliver us all back to the spiritual world. So I'll do my best to connect you to Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. And as you've also taken vows, so the spiritual master also takes it as, you could say, a vow at initiation. He takes it very seriously that he will take the disciple back home, back to Godhead. So I give you that guarantee. I am no one special, but I'm the disciple of a very glorious master. I have faith in the process, so we will all go back home back together by Prabhupada's mercy. So that I give you that promise. So that you remember the goal, Brindavan, we will give you a like Brajbasi name. We'll give you a name of Radharani. Fortunately, Radharani has a lot of names. All the girls want pretty names, right? And sometimes I run out of names, and I have to go through the Goswami literature. You're studying a lot these days, Gurudev. Yes, I'm trying to find names. I found a very beautiful name in a poem by a great devotee, which was quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we'll give you that name so you can always remember the goal. It's a name for Radharani. It means, just like a golden creeper wound around the Shyam Krishna Tamal tree. That's what your name means. From this day forth, you should be called Kanchana Bailey Dasi. I love that name. Kanchana Bailey. A name for Radha. Just like a golden creeper wound around the Shyam Tamal tree, the Krishna tree. Kanchana Bailey Devi Dasi ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Guru Parampara ki. Sisivara Gokulananda ki. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki. Do you have Nisringa Dev? Bhagavan Narasingha Dev ki. Now we will consummate the sacred moment by a fire yoga. And after the fire yoga, we have wedding practice. Ananda Bhuri Bhadavanam.